Job chapter 2 in your Bibles, if you want to follow along. And I'd like to read in Job chapter 2, verses 2 through 10, and then turn to the book of Proverbs. Job chapter 2 and the first 10 verses, and you'll see God's judgment with regard to Job and Job's integrity. Job 2, beginning at verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil, and he still holds fast his integrity, although you incite me against him to ruin him without cause." Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face." So the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your power, only spare his life." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. And then in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, and verse 3, our text for this evening, Proverbs 11, 3. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. May God be pleased to grant us grace in an adequate understanding of His Word. Amen. My friend Ed was a fellow pastor in southeast Kansas when I was a pastor in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in northeast Oklahoma. We were about 25 miles apart and had a lot of fellowship together. In fact, I helped Ed through his exams in presbytery, and so we became close. One day, an elder from the church he served called me and said, "Denny, Ed left the church and his family with a wife of one of our members." And I was asked by our presbytery to catch up with Ed. And I finally caught up with him in California. And when we sat down together, he said to me in part, I went to Christian elementary school because my parents wanted me to go to Christian school. I went to Christian high school because my parents wanted me to go to Christian high school. I went to Christian college because my parents wanted me to go to Christian college. I went to seminary because my parents wanted me to go to seminary, and I entered the ministry because that's what my parents wanted me to do. And as far as this situation in which I find myself, if I had it to do over again, I would do exactly the same thing. What was the root problem? It was a lack of integrity. All these years, what was in this man's heart apparently did not match what he was professing and doing on the outside. There was a lack of integrity. Integrity. It's important, isn't it? It really is important. And our proverb this evening tells us that the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. In fact, integrity, or the lack of it, has eternal significance. And so I say to you, based on this proverb tonight, dear friends, cling to and hold fast to your God-given integrity. It will guide you in this life and guide you into glory. I think that's, at least in part, the message of our proverb tonight. Integrity is God-given, and it is a God-given steadfastness of heart. Again, Job is an excellent example of this. And I'd like to turn back to Job chapter 2 and just a couple of verses in Job chapter 2. Job 2 and verse 3. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil, and he still holds fast his integrity. What kind of a man was Job? He was an upright man. This was God's judgment with regard to Job. Isn't that interesting? This was God's judgment. God, in fact, had given Job an upright heart, a heart which was steadfast concerning the things of God. That's why the text says he was blameless, outwardly at least. When you looked at Job, there was nothing that you could indict him with. There were no charges that you could bring against Job, you see. He was a man fearing God. In other words, he was a man who had right judgments about God. He loved God. He loved the Lord his God. And you remember that Job said, if he slays me, yet will I trust him. That was Job's heart. That's where Job was. He had a proper estimation of God, and because he had a proper estimation of God, and he had to learn more, there was no doubt about that, he had a holy awe and reverence of God. He had a holy fear of God, and so he turned away from evil. The Apostle John tells us in his first letter that those who have the hope of heaven purify themselves even as Christ is pure, who is seated in heaven. And that's the kind of heart, that's the kind of attitude, that's the kind of disposition Job had. See? He had an upright and steadfast heart. And what he did was not an act, as my friend's deeds were an act, a facade. His heart was right with God, and all that he did showed the uprightness of his heart. He was a man of integrity. And then, when Satan challenged him further, his wife, his closest companion, said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity?" That's in verse 9. "Curse God and die." Job said, "Curse God? Never! Never!" He was a man of integrity. He could not and he would not do such a thing. And this is what our proverb is talking about. The integrity of the upright, in Proverbs 11:3, will guide them. Integrity, in other words, is uprightness of heart. It is not crookedness or perverseness or treachery. The proverb again, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. This crookedness means perversity. And in Proverbs 10:9, we have a similar concept. He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out. You see, my friend in the ministry perverted his ways, and he couldn't keep that a secret. Eventually, it was found out. And the treacherous pervert their ways, and they are crooked. The treacherous are those who are faithless. Right? Isn't that interesting, too? Because those who are upright and have hearts of integrity are believers, true believers. But the opposite is the person who is treacherous, who is faithless. In Matthew 25, Jesus told the parable of the talents. And you remember that parable? How that the Lord gave five talents and two talents and one talent. And then the Lord went away and then he came back. And the fellow that had the two talents said, "Here are two talents more." And the fellow that had the five talents said, "Here are five talents more." And you remember what Jesus said the master, what the master said in response? "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of your Lord." Here were servants who were not treacherous, who were not perverse, but they were faithful. In other words, they were servants of integrity. they took the talents and used them for the benefit of the master. They were individuals of integrity, of faithfulness. And that, again, is what our proverb is talking about. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness or the faithlessness of the treacherous will destroy them. Well, as we go on, we see that this integrity is a guide. We mentioned that already, but let's pursue that just for a moment. The integrity of the upright will guide them. If you have an upright heart and a heart of integrity that, as the psalmist says, is fixed on God, what will you want to do? You will want to follow the ways of God. Is that not correct? Look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 9. Here's a companion. He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out. The person of integrity follows the ways, the pathways of God. Such a person studies the Word of God and knows what God wants and what is right in God's eyes. And so when one of the Ten Commandments, the seventh commandment, says, "You shall not commit adultery," what does the person of integrity, the faithful person, the one who wants to walk in God's ways, what will such a person do? Avoid that sin. Is that not correct? That's what will happen. Well, here's my friend again, who fell into this sin and said, "I'm not going to repent of it. If I had it to do over again, I'd do the very same thing." Well, he who walks in integrity walks securely. The integrity of the upright will guide them. And so I say to you this evening again, hold fast to the integrity of your heart, the integrity given to you by God. It will guide you. Has God given you a new heart? Has God given you integrity? Yes. Then hold fast to it. It will guide you in this life. And not only will this integrity guide you in this life, but it will guide you into the life to come. I've already alluded to this fact, that integrity has eternal consequences. If you have a heart to steer clear of evil, that's a good thing. God has given to you that heart. And you can say, "Thank you, Lord." And if God has given to you a heart to persevere in that which is good, that's a wonderful thing also. God has given you a heart fixed on Him, as the psalmist says. And you do that which is good because you know God desires that from you, and He's given you a heart for that. And in the end, when Christ comes a second time in glory, and you stand before Jesus Christ in judgment, what words may you anticipate hearing? "Well done, good and faithful servant. Have you done everything perfectly? No. But Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay the penalty due for all of your sins. And although you have not done everything perfectly, those sins are covered by Christ, and God has given you a heart to be faithful to Him by His grace in this life, and you have lived for Him, and where you have failed, the blood of Christ covers your sins, and so when you stand before Jesus in glory, in judgment, you may anticipate by trusting Christ, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." I'm grateful that that's the case, because I know as I look at my life, I have done nothing perfectly, but have been preeminently imperfect in the things that I have done. But I trust that God has given to me a heart inclined to Him and an attitude to serve Him. And that's what being born again is about. And if that's the case with you, and I trust that it is, then in the end, by the grace of God and through the blood of Christ, having been born again, you will hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And this proverb will ring true in your life. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. Some of us, this last Friday evening, had the privilege of going to an ordination service at College Hill Church in Beaver Falls, the ordination of Titus Martin. And Jim Carson gave the sermon. And he recorded for us in the beginning of his sermon 5 generations of individuals, including Titus, who were gospel ministers. And as I reflected on that, I think I had to come to the conclusion, and I think we have to come to the conclusion, that there were generations of faithful families that preceded Titus, men and women of integrity. And that integrity guided them in this life and into glory. That God-given integrity. And part of the fruit of that integrity was that young man standing before the congregation and being ordained to the gospel ministry by the presbytery. The integrity of the upright will guide them. We thank God that this is the case. And at the same time, we must acknowledge the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them also. That's the other side of the coin. But the thing I want you to get is the first half of that proverb. The integrity of the upright will guide them. And I say to you again this evening, dear friends, hold fast to your God-given integrity. It will guide you in this life and into glory itself. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your grace. We could not say these things except for your love and grace. And I pray that you will indeed fix our hearts and give us hearts of integrity and help us to understand that this means we are fixed on you and on your word, and will follow you and will follow your word. Bless us to this end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.